Okay. I guess we can start. It's what time? I can't get the date. Oh yeah, the date. You see, I only have one monitor that displays my date. December 19th, 2022, 16:44 hours. 16:44 hours, that is. Ward Green here, Eastern Standard Time, by the way. 16:44 hours Eastern Standard Time. And my monitor system is new, but it's rather different, and I'm not saying that I like it, but I have only a dock on one monitor and only a menu bar on one monitor. But I've got all my monitors, five of them working, including the main one. I wasn't able to use the Dell as my main monitor. That was one of the problems. And then even when it was used as an extended monitor, it's still so maybe I can use it as the main monitor. Yeah, it's acting like the main monitor now anyway, even if it isn't. But I don't want to get sidetracked with this. We'll talk about that stuff later, I think. Oh, it is the main display, right? Because I dragged the light bar. Yeah, it is. It is. It's working as a main display. But let's not get sidetracked. I can reboot, apparently, or maybe I can. I mean, I can obviously reboot, but maybe I can reboot and still preserve all my windows intact. That I wasn't able to do at first, so. But it looked like I could, and then the next day it didn't reboot correctly. So, yeah, it's going to take some adjusting to this new monitor, and maybe I'll just keep it as a spare. But that doesn't sound right because it's such a good monitor. Why would I keep an OLED monitor as a spare? But I could always go back. I could still go back to the Acer monitor. It works fine. I'm just gaining new appreciation now. Well, I had to boot twice though. With the Acer monitor, I had to boot twice every time. But that was because I was trying to keep it as the main monitor. But if I use the Acer as the extended monitor, I don't think I'd have a problem, maybe. No, it still might not boot on the first boot. Yeah, it still might not detect on first boot the Acer monitor. So the problem I was having with the Acer monitor was a severe problem, enough to justify buying a new monitor. And using the Acer as a spare, which I can do still, it still works. I mean, but it only works on HDMI, whereas, this new one has the Alienware. It's the AW3423DWF, which stands for FreeSync, I guess. It's the FreeSync version, I think, of the Alienware gaming monitor. It's 165 hertz capable, but I like to use it as a normal everyday monitor. It's OLED, quantum dot OLED technology, which is pretty advanced. And I want to be moving forward, always with technology. I'm always an early adopter, although I don't adopt everything. I don't try to keep up with every piece of technology, and I don't update all my devices right to the cutting edge all the time because it's just not cost effective. It's not time effective either, so I don't do it. But the thing is, I am an early adopter. I always, or not always, have been. I shouldn't say that. I've been that way for a while. I've been an early adopter. There is a way, though. There's an app that you can get that will enable you to position your windows manually, like you just run it in terminal. I just haven't gotten it yet because I know it's going to be a pain or a chore at least to set it up. You have to determine what all your window settings are, and then you tell Terminal in the Mac what size each window is and where it's located on your desktop, and you tell everything to through Terminal how to position all the windows so that every time you boot, you can run this app and it will position all your windows. And so everything is solved, right? So let's get a little music here. So I'm very thrilled with a lot of things that are happening. The new slippers, I found a way to wear insoles in them. I'm using the 3/4 pro feet. I think they're called pro feet or pro foot. Pro feet, I think. The 3/4 insoles that I have used in the past that I showed on an earlier video that I'm not using or wasn't using until now. And I just found another use for them. I can use them in my new slippers. And these slippers are nice because they're slip-on, right? You just slip them on. You don't have to... Although you can't just put your foot in them necessarily because they're very tight. So you might need to... You might need your hands. But the thing is... or one hand, but I'm considering buying another pair of slippers. Already I'm considering that. But these might turn out to be perfect. You know, I like the brand when I bought them. They're inexpensive. But and these insoles give me the cushioning I need in my heel, and so I can walk in them quite decently. But they're not the kind I want to walk in. They're just the kind I want to wear when I'm sitting around on my computer to keep my toes warm. They're perfect for that. So... I mean, my heels might get cold though. So I think I need, you know, these will keep my toes warm, but they don't, you know, but everything has a purpose and a place. And it's probably good to have two pairs of different kinds of slippers, I think, probably. But I just don't know if I'm at that stage where I can afford to have two pairs, financially afford it. You know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. But because if I had two pairs of slippers, I'd have to have two different kinds of fingerless gloves as well, wouldn't I? I mean, everything would be... So everything needs to be thought out carefully from the point of view of being congruent, too. Are you congruent in your life? But I want to share and show something to you before we do our study today from Psalms, little children. I want to share with you how to do the calculation with leather. When they say it's 4 ounce leather, we're going to just say 4 divided by 16 because that's converting ounces into pounds. Since there are 16 ounces in a pound, if we divide 4 by 16, that's a quarter, right? 0.25 of a pound. But that's how you convert to pounds if you have ounces. You get divide the number of ounces by 16 and you have pounds. Now, and I will share. Now, some of what I'm going to calculate in this calculation might be difficult to understand, especially if you're not if you've never done this before, or if you're not good with numbers or mathematically inclined or whatever you want to call it, some of what I'm going to show you here might not make a lot of sense, but don't worry about it because in the future I will hopefully show you other ways, a better way, or some further ways, some more ways to help you with understanding this, okay? So don't worry too much. But 4 divided by 16, okay? That's the number of pounds, so I already know I've got pounds. Now, I want to figure out, well, let's say we know the density of leather, okay, that it's 53.7. I think it's more like 48, possibly, 48, but we could use, it doesn't matter what number we use, because I think 48 is consistent with some of the numbers I saw. About 0.7 of the weight of water, okay, and water is 62 pounds. 62.4 pounds per cubic foot. We got it in feet, right? We converted ounces to feet because we want to do it in pounds per cubic foot. That's why. We have to have the same units so that it works out correctly. So we had leather that's named 4 ounce. It's called 4 ounce leather because that's how much it weighs. 4 ounces. Now, but I learned also that leather is done differently than fabric. Fabric is done per square yard. Leather is done per square foot because it's heavier. So they decided to do leather per square foot. So the weight of leather per square foot is 4 ounces in this case. So it's per square foot. So that's why I wanted it in feet, not in yards, okay? If I wanted it in yards, I'd have to divide feet, right? I got it in feet, right? Sorry, I got it in... I didn't get it in feet, so I got it in pounds. That's right. We'll need to use pounds and feet, right? Pounds and feet. But if I wanted it in yards, if that were four ounces per yard, per square yard, right? That would be that would be much less per square foot because the square foot is 1/9. So I'd have to divide by 9 if I wanted it in the pounds. If it had been ounces per square yard, which it wasn't, I thought it was at first. If it had been ounces per square yard, that's a square yard's 9 times as big as a square foot, because 3 feet by 3 feet is a square yard. So 3 times 3 is 9, so it's 9 times as big in area. So we divide by 9, we'd get 0.027 repeated, 0.028, in other words, rounded off, would be the number of ounces per square foot, if the 4 ounces were referring to 4 ounces per square yard. But because it was referring to 4 ounces per square foot, I just needed to get it in feet. So 4 divided by 16, 0.25 feet, was good enough to get to the next step, which is to divide now. Now that we have it in feet, in pounds. We wanted to get it in pounds, okay, per square foot. So this is pounds per square foot now, because it was 4 ounces per square foot. And now it's pounds per square foot, because we divided by 16. To convert from ounces to pounds. So 4 divided by 16 is 0.25 pounds, and now we want, well, we divide by the density of leather, we'll say 48. It's around 50. 48 pounds per cubic foot, which is about 0.8 of the density of water of 62, right? Because 0.8 times 6 would be 48. So, I mean, 8 times 6 is 48, and 62.8 of 62 is 48, therefore, right? 0.8 of 60 would be 48, because 0.8 of 6 is 4.8. 0.8 times 6, 8 times 6 is 48. 0.8 times 6 is 4.8. 0.8 times 60 is 48. That's how it works, right? So it's about 0.8. The density of leather is about 0.8 of what it is for water. So that's close enough. So we divide by 48 pounds per cubic foot, which is the density of leather. So we've got 4 divided by 16 pounds. And we divide by 48 to get it into it. Well, we're converting. Just think about it for a moment. We have feet now, and we're dividing by pounds per cubic foot. No, we had pounds. Sorry, we had pounds, not feet. We had pounds, and we're dividing by pounds per cubic foot. So pounds per cubic foot. Pounds divided by pounds is 1, right? That just cancels. Pounds divided by pounds, but then the cubic feet on the bottom. Pounds divided by pounds per cubic foot becomes foot cubed, right? Except we had pounds per foot squared already. It was actually pounds per foot squared. 4 divided by 16 was the number of pounds per foot squared. Because it was 4 ounce leather. 4 ounce leather was per square foot. So 4 divided by 16 pounds per square foot is what we had. 4 divided by 16, because there's 16 ounces in a pound. So 4 divided by 16 pounds per square foot divided by 48 pounds per cubic foot. What happens is the pounds cancels, and the foot cube comes above the foot squared. Right, because the pounds per square foot and the divided by pounds per cubic foot, the cubic foot comes above, the square foot is in the lower, the divisor part. So the foot cube divided by foot squared is what we have, and that's just feet. So we end up with feet with that, okay? So the answer is 5.208. Okay, I'll show you that. Where are you? Yeah. Try to get it without the reflection, maybe. There it is. Four divided by 16 divided by 48 equals 5.208. 3 times 10 to the minus 3. Okay, that's the answer. But we want to multiply to get it into inches from feet now. We have feet. We multiply by 12 because there's 12 inches in a foot. So it's going to be 12 times as many inches. And that's 0.0625. Whoops. Yeah. .0625 after I multiply by 12. Well, I wish it didn't reflect so much. Okay. How do I reduce that reflection? .0625. Now, we just want to multiply by the number of millimeters in an inch, which is 25.1. So we say times 25.4, sorry, not 0.1, 25.4 equals, and that's the number of millimeters of how thick it will be in millimeters. That's what it means when it says 4 ounce leather, it's 1.5875 millimeters. Because I multiply by 25.4. You can't see it on there, but that's what it is. I can just show you here. There, I multiplied by 25.4 at the end. After I multiplied by 12, I multiplied by 25, I divided by 48, I multiplied by 12, and I multiplied by 25.4, and I got 1.59, or about 1.6 millimeters. That's how thick 4 ounce leather is. It's 1.6 millimeters, so that's how you do it, okay? We'll talk about it more later. That's how you figure it out. You have to know the density of leather, that's all. It's the same with any material if you know. Well, actually with fabric, I don't know how you do it with fabric. You don't generally know the density of fabric, do you? What's the density of polyester? We don't do it using density. How do we do it with polyester? I don't know, but I've done it before. Well, we don't care how thick it is with polyester. That's right, yeah. We didn't care how thick it was, but the leather, I wanted to know how thick it was. That was the difference. So, yeah, it's with fabric, you don't normally think about how thick it is. If you wanted to know how thick it was, you'd have to know the density, just like we did there. So that's it. We've done it. I showed you how to do it, little children. Now we're ready to make a study of Psalms chapter 79, and we're listening to the music of André Gagnon from the very best of André Gagnon, 2001. Psalm 79 is a melody of Asaph. It's a short one. A melody of Asaph. O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in a heap of ruins. They have given the dead body of your servants as food to the fowls of the heavens, the flesh of your loyal ones to the wild beasts of the earth. They have poured out their blood like water all around Jerusalem, and there is no one to do the burying. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a derision and a jeering to those round about us. How long, O Jehovah, will you be incensed? Forever? How long will your ardor burn just like fire? Pour out your rage upon the nations that have not known you, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon your own name. For they have eaten up Jacob. For they have eaten up Jacob, and they have caused their own abiding place to be desolated. Do not remember against us the errors of our ancestors. Hurry, let your mercies confront us, for we have become greatly impoverished. Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the sake of the glory of your name, and deliver us and cover over our sins on account of your name. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Among the nations, let there be known before our eyes the avenging of the blood of your servants that has been shed. May the sighing of the prisoner come in even before you. According to the greatness of your arm, preserve those appointed to death. And repay to our neighbors 7 times into their bosom their reproach with which they have reproached you, O Jehovah. As for us, your people, and the flock of your pasturage, we shall give thanks to you to time indefinite. From generation to generation, we shall declare your praise. Psalm 79, that was, of Asaph. It's just so beautiful to listen to it. I mean the psalm, but the music too, but the psalm. It's so beautiful just to hear the words. I don't feel like we always have to explain them. We can just read them again if we want to know more about what they mean. So here's another reference to how long. How long, Psalm 79, how long, O Jehovah, will you be incensed? Forever? How long will your ardor burn just like fire? For they have eaten up Jacob, verse 7. These kingdoms have eaten up God's people. These ones that had not called upon his name, they had eaten up his people. So that would make Jehovah angry, certainly. That wouldn't mean that Jehovah would immediately pour out his rage. No, he wouldn't necessarily do that immediately. We had the opportunity recently, if you watch the videos on JW.org in the library section, you would have had the opportunity along with me to, we had the opportunity together to listen to the talk by Brother Jackson about mild-temperedness and what it means to be mild-tempered. And here we can see that Jehovah is the kind of God who is angry, but he doesn't take his anger out on the people causing the anger. He doesn't take his anger out immediately. He doesn't pour out his rage swiftly, or, you know, what's the word? Prematurely. He doesn't prematurely express his anger. That's the thing. So, but these people had been disturbing, as we read in the book of Isaiah so far also, where Assyria had been attacking Hezekiah at Jerusalem. You know, there had been trouble. And as this verse 7 says, these kingdoms have caused Jehovah's, or Jacob's in this case, Jehovah's people's abiding place, Jacob's abiding place, to be desolated. They've caused Jerusalem to be desolated by the fact that, well, we know that there was a dividing of the kingdoms, first of all, in 977 in the genealogy. That's the date for the dividing of the kingdoms. 40 years after Solomon began to rule, the kingdom was divided. But I'm trying to think. This is a prophecy, of course. Because it was going to happen that Jerusalem would be desolated in the future. But this is not Isaiah. This is not Isaiah. This is Asaph. Right. This is Asaph. Can we look up? Right. When did Asaph live? Okay, I know what I'll do. I will look this up here. Hang on. I'll look it up in the Insight book. Okay. Let's see, look up Asaph. Psalms. Right. Right. Well, this could be the house of Asaph. It may be referring to the house of Asaph. Right. Right. You see, Psalm 79, it even mentions this psalm. This particular psalm is mentioned in the Insight book from 1988, the copy that I have. It's mentioned here that in Asaph's day, or that these events of Psalm 79 were not from Asaph's day. They were from a later time period. Obviously they are, because Jerusalem was laid in a heap of ruins during the time of... Well, there may have been an Asaph who lived at that time, but there were psalms written by, perhaps in this case, it refers to the house of Asaph when it says a melody of Asaph. And that's why these events can refer to any time period, which could have been later than the man named Asaph, but still, his house would explain it. The reference to his house explains it, because Jerusalem, if he was the Asaph who lived in David's time, for example, because there was a very prominent man named Asaph. He was a chief singer, so he was the writer of some, or director at least, of some music, and, you know, a singer and player. So he was mentioned in during the time of David, I should say. David's time, but the time of David, which was 10, David ruled from 1058. 8 to 10:17, and so that what was the time of this Asaph that was referred to by David, so or during as being as having lived during David's time. But, you know, every instance, we would look up each instance. We would look each referral up. It's not really that important. The idea here is I just wanted to get a rough idea of what I wanted to get an inkling of why this refers to the destruction of Jerusalem, and yet it seems to refer to Asaph. But that doesn't really mean anything, because there could have been many men named Asaph, many descendants of Asaph, or many other people named Asaph. So they don't even have to be descendants of Asaph. They could be other people named Asaph. Or it could mean the house of Asaph. It doesn't matter what it means, but it's referring to event, because we don't know when the time period was. It's not important, because it doesn't matter. We know what the time period was based on the fact that they had, at this time, it was mentioned, they had destroyed Jerusalem. They were enemies of Jerusalem, of Israel. Enemies of Israel had destroyed Jerusalem. So that's what it's talking about. It's in the time period of 587 BCE, the destruction of Jerusalem, that this is talking here. This is singing, reporting on the time period of that 587 BCE destruction of Jerusalem. It certainly isn't referring to the 70 CE destruction, but it's referring to the earlier one, 587, because the Old Testament does not refer to events after the time of Jesus. But now we will go happily to Isaiah 59 and see how long that is. Not too long, not too bad. Isaiah 59, look, the hand of Jehovah has not become too short that it cannot save, nor has his ear become too heavy that it cannot hear. No, but the very errors of you people have become the things causing division between you and your God. And your own sins have caused the concealing of his face from you to keep you from hearing. For your own palms have become polluted with blood, and your fingers with error. Your own lips have spoken falsehood. Your own tongue kept muttering sheer unrighteousness. There is no one calling out in righteousness, and no one at all has gone to court in faithfulness. There has been a trusting in unreality and a speaking of worthlessness. There has been a conceiving of trouble and a bringing of what is hurtful to birth. The eggs of a poisonous snake are what they have hatched, and they kept weaving the mere cobweb of a spider. Anyone eating some of their eggs would die, and the egg that was smashed would be hatched into a viper. Their mere cobweb will not serve as a garment, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are hurtful works, and the activity of violence is in their palms. Their own feet keep running to sheer badness, and they are in a hurry to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are hurtful thoughts. Despoiling and breakdown are in their highways. The way of peace they have ignored, and there is no justice in their tracks. Their roadways they have made crooked for themselves. No one at all treading in them will actually know peace. That is why justice has come to be far away from us, and righteousness does not catch up with us. We keep hoping for light, but look, darkness for brightness, but in continuous gloom we kept walking. We keep groping for the wall just like blind men, and like those without eyes we keep groping. We have stumbled at high noon, just as in evening darkness among the stout ones. We are just like dead people. We keep groaning, all of us, just like bears and like doves. We mournfully keep cooing. We kept hoping for justice, but there was none. For salvation, but it has stayed far away from us. For our revolts have become many in front of you. And as for our sins, each one has testified against us. For our revolts are with us, and as for our errors, we well know them. There have been transgressing and a denying of Jehovah, and there was a moving back from our God, a speaking of oppression and revolt, a conceiving and a muttering of words of falsehood from the very heart, and justice was forced to move back, and righteousness itself kept standing simply far off, for truth has stumbled even in the public square, and what is straightforward is unable to enter, and the truth proves to be missing, and anyone turning away from badness is being despoiled. And Jehovah got to see, and it was bad in his eyes, that there was no justice. And when he saw that there was no one, that there was no man, he began to show himself astonished that there was no one interposing. And his arm proceeded to save for him, and his own justice was the thing that supported him. Then he put on righteousness as a coat of mail, and the helmet of salvation upon his head. Furthermore, he put on the garments of vengeance as raiment, and enwrapped himself with zeal as if a sleeveless coat. In accordance with the dealings he will reward, correspondingly, rage to his adversaries, due treatment to his enemies. To the islands he will recompense due treatment. And from the sunset they will begin to fear the name of Jehovah, and from the rising of the sun the glory of him, for he will come in like a distressing river, which the very Spirit of Jehovah has driven along. And to Zion the repurchaser will certainly come, and to those turning from transgression in Jacob is the utterance of Jehovah. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, Jehovah has said. My spirit that is upon you, and my words that I have put in your mouth, they will not be removed from your mouth, or from the mouth of your offspring, or from the mouth of the offspring of your offspring, Jehovah has said, from now on, even to time indefinite. That was Isaiah chapter 59. So we see here that Jehovah is going to take vengeance, and he's going to give rage, deal some rage. He's going to express his rage to his enemies in verse 18. However, we read in Psalms already, just the same day we read Psalms today, miraculously, it corresponds. Psalm 79. How long will you be incensed, Jehovah? Verse 5. Verse 6, pour out your rage upon the nations that have not known you. It corresponds directly to what we're talking about in Isaiah 59, and I had no knowledge of that, except in my subconscious mind, from having read the Bible. I have not read the Bible in its entirety more than a few times. I mean, I've only read it a few times in its entirety, if that. I mean, I've read it at least once in its entirety, but parts of it I've read many times, but not all of it many times. So it's just my subconscious mind or Jehovah's miraculous ability, and maybe it has nothing to do with my subconscious mind. But there is correlation between Isaiah 59 and Psalm 79, evidently, from the idea of Jehovah expressing his rage on his enemies. That's not in every chapter of the Bible, by any means. In verse 15, the truth proves to be missing. And Jehovah didn't like that, because there was no justice. Without truth, it's hard to get justice, because you don't know what the truth is, isn't it? If nobody can tell you who did what, then how do you get justice when somebody is being mistreated, if you don't know who did what? If you don't know who did what, this is my light shield. It just fell off. I was just trying to tighten it up here, actually. There we go. Let's see if I can do this. Is it going to tighten up well here? Is it going to slip on? Yeah, it looks like it might be possible. Here. That should hold, possibly, a little while. Okay. We need to turn down the music. It gets louder. Then we wouldn't be able to hear ourselves talk. Yeah, it's better. So, Jehovah deals rage to his adversaries. And we know that the Babylonians, even though they did destroy Jerusalem, Jehovah took rage on them when he had Cyrus conquer Babylon. He took out his rage on them when he caused the kingdom of Babylon to end at that time in 539 BCE. 539 BCE. Kingdom of Babylon ceased to be and has not been seen since, even to this day. However, Jehovah's words and his spirit will not be removed from our mouths, nor from the mouths of our offspring, nor from the mouths of the offspring of our offspring, even to time indefinite. Verse 21, Isaiah 59:21. So this is Ward Green. I think we've done enough today, probably. Hopefully that's long enough, too, or not too long, but long enough to talk about a few things, and we'll talk about things more. I'm very disappointed, but I should have expected to be disappointed. I should have known better. You should never rely on technology, ever, as a way of solving problems, or you should never rely on technology to work just because it's brand new or just because it's advanced. It doesn't work that way. Or just because it's expensive. That's the other thing. Expensive things don't work better. In fact, in many ways, they work worse because they're designed for rich people who can afford to spend more money on solving the problems. So expensive things don't work better. That's something to learn. So this new monitor doesn't work better than the old one. It works worse. And I've got problems incorporating it into my system. Now, that doesn't mean I won't solve those problems. It doesn't mean that I have to feel sad about it or anything, but I can't maximize a window because it will completely negate all my other screens. They all disappear. So I can maximize a window manually, but you know, I can just make the window bigger by dragging the edges of it. That's all I can do now. But that's fine, I guess. I need to learn how to do that probably anyway. I needed to learn how to do other things, so this is going to give me an opportunity to learn how to do other things because I have new problems with this new monitor, but apparently maybe I can boot into my old operating system on the internal hard drive. Or the SSD, I mean, of the M1 Max MacBook Pro, and it will, maybe that'll work. I could go back to that system if I want to use this monitor. I don't have to run on the external drive. And I could use the external drive as a backup. It's just, the music was interrupted by a skipped ad, I guess. The ad was skipped by the software, but that I've installed to skip ads on YouTube. So, I mean, I enjoyed the study. I hope you did today, little children. There's more to learn about computers. I love these new gaming monitors. I don't know why. I like having, I don't know why I think I need a gaming monitor when I don't play games, but I think it's because of the fast refresh rate. It makes the mouse move much more smoothly. When you have a fast refresh rate, you don't get any lag. So it's very, very important for anyone to have a pleasant user experience. Anyway, it's Ward Green. We will revisit these things over and over again. Oh, look, I cannot pop up my... Yeah, I can't pop things up. Except on my main monitor. My dock is not there. Except on the main monitor. Anyway, it's... what time is it? I wanted to know the time. That's what it was. And the date. December 19th, 2022. 1728 hours My name is Ward Green. I love you. Goodbye for now. And have a wonderful day.